She moved out into the country to become a farmer, but had to name her farm BYOB for Bring Your Own Boyfriend. The pickings out here are slim, she said. Her slim pickings leads us to ask, where does one find a mate in farm country?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Hello out there. You are tuned into the 977th edition of the Food Chain Radio program right here on the GCM Radio Network. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends way over there in Acordelia who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, wherever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Aaron Shore on the boards. Hello, Aaron.
Good morning.
I have a question for you, Aaron.
I have an answer.
Let's say you move out to the countryside to become a farmer. Where would you go about looking for young people your age with whom to have your social intercourse?
Oh, God, I'm the wrong person to ask this question. I don't know. Rodeos? I don't know.
That's the only thing. That's a good idea. That's a good idea. Well, folks, it is a dream shared by many living in the confused, crowded, and crumbling environs of the big city. It goes something like this. I'm going to leave this crummy city and move out into farmland USA, where I can earn an honest living by growing real food and find a mate that is monogamous, warm-hearted, and attentive. But when one does quit the city for farmland, one finds the average farmer out there to be of retirement age and long since spoken for. And if one does bring one's own mate, one might still find oneself isolated by the farm's work, where one tends chores outside and the other tends the chores inside. Sometimes I see him walk by the kitchen window, but that's about all the interaction we have until supper time, she said. It is a fact. To sustain a farm community capable of sustaining big cities requires economic viability and social viability. Of course, this leads us to ask, where does one find romance in farm country? How does one conduct a courtship while turning piles of steaming compost? And how does a young family hold itself together in the isolation of the countryside? Well, here to help us attract some answers today, we have Christina Johnson, who is the author of the Civil Eats article entitled The Love Lives of Farmers, How to Make Rural Romance Work. Christina, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thank you, Michael. It's great to be here.
Good to have you aboard. Now, found your piece in Civil Eats, which is one of the new kinds of journalism you see springing up like mushrooms everywhere on the internet. And it's a great-looking magazine, online magazine. It was started all with, as I understand it, a Kickstarter program. Is that right?
Well, yeah, they actually existed before that, but they ran a Kickstarter last year, and I believe they raised more money than any other Kickstarter campaign ever had. But they are a group of very savvy editors and writers, and you know, at first it was totally free, and it was people that wanted to get the word out about sustainable agriculture issues, and now they're able to pay writers, but the quality of the work on there is really incredible.
Well, I was impressed by the quality of work on there, and I was impressed by your piece, The Love Lives of Farmers. And so I have to ask, and I love to ask this question of all the authors that come aboard, is what was your epiphany moment? You know, that one moment when you said, wow, there's a story here.
Sure, absolutely. I'll go back a little bit. I moved to the city, and I live in San Francisco, and I moved here about 2 years ago from North Carolina, where I lived in a small town. I went to college there, and I was surrounded by farmland. And so when I got to the city, I missed that. I missed having all these relationships and connections to the farmers that were growing my food. So I started calling people up and, you know, making some farm visits, and I started talking to this woman who was in Northern California, and she was working with ranchers up there. And she was the person who actually, she'd moved from the city with her boyfriend, and we were talking about dating, and, you know, I was kind of bemoaning the city dating life and feeling a little lonely in my apartment, and I was saying, well, you know, sometimes I really think about just moving to the country. And just as you said in your introduction, there's this romantic ideal of what it might be like out there to, you know, plant some vegetables with the love of your life. And she says, well, you know, I don't know that I would make that move because there's not a lot to choose from. You know, in my town, everybody's in their 50s or 60s, and it's slim pickings. And so she was the one that said, you know, I call my county BYOB for bring your own boyfriend. But what she did tell me was about this family of ranchers, and she sent me a link. This family had been ranching in Northern California for generations. And so she sent me a link to their website, and she said, you know, you should really look at these people, check out this family. And so I go to their website, and there's this video on there. And this is like the family Von Trapps of cattle ranching. They are all beautiful and talented. And then this video, it's panning across their land, and it's showing these, you know, these ranchers, and this, you know, the dad looks like Robert Redford, and the mom is still rocking it in her 60s, and they're sitting by the side of a river with their daughter, who's come back from college from a master's program back east, and she's brought her fiancé, and they're all sitting by the river, and they're singing, and, you know, the fiancé has a great education, too, and he and the daughter have decided that they're going to keep this ranch going, that they're going to put their education, even though they could get any job they wanted, they're going to put it towards this land and stewarding this piece of earth that's been in their family for generations. So fast forward a few months, you know, and I've, you know, concocted this whole kind of romantic image of what their family's like, and I think, well, that's exactly the kind of life I want. But fast forward a few months, and I'm at a conference, and I'm sitting in a circle full of women who are involved in agriculture, and as we're going around and we're all introducing ourselves, I realize that one of those women is that daughter. So I go up to her after everyone has given their introduction, and I tell her that I saw that video of her family, and that I so respect what she and her fiancé are doing. I think it's, you know, great work and important, and more people should do it. And she looks at me and she says, well, you know, that was my fiancé, and then that was my husband, and now that's my ex-husband. And she's probably about 28, 29, and the fact of the matter was that her husband was from suburbia, and he'd moved out to the country, and he got out there, and he realized that pushing cattle was not his thing, and living out in a very rural part of the country wasn't his thing either, and he didn't really take to working with her family. You know, it's, your father-in-law is your boss, and you're living in the same piece of property, which is something that a lot of people in modern life are not used to, as far as living 100 feet away from your in-laws. And he basically hightailed it out of there. So it's that I'm looking at this woman who's beautiful and educated and also very committed to living in a particular place, doing a particular kind of work that is increasingly rare, you know, only 1% of the country farms. And I started thinking about, well, what is she going to do? She wants to have a family. She wants to have a partner. But how can she find somebody that's going to want to do that with her? You know, how many cowboys are just going to come knocking at her door? So that is what really inspired the 6 months that I spent talking to people, farmers, about their love lives. You know, I lived in the city. I still live in the city. But I would go out on the weekends, and I would call people long distance, and I would ask them about dating and marriage and how they were handling their relationships with the stress of farming.
Now, how did they respond? When an attractive young lady start asking them about their love life?
Well, you know, people love to talk, and they love to talk about things they're not often, you know, it's personal, and they don't get to talk about a lot. And so I would go to these farmers' houses, and we would sit at their kitchen table, and they would just
open up.
They loved having the opportunity, yeah.
Wow.
They would totally open up.
Well, I think this is going to be a real fun show. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio program. Michael Olson here. Today we're talking about a subject that we probably don't think much about, which is how do you hold a social world together out there in the country when that countryside is rapidly becoming depopulated. Fewer and fewer people out there. You know, you get this wonderful idea to go out into the country and settle down and meet somebody and raise a family and have a good job, a real job, growing real food. And all of a sudden you go out there and there's nobody out there. What are you going to do? Where are you going to find romance? That's the subject today on the Food Chain Radio program. Michael Olson here with Christina Johnson. She wrote a piece called The Love Lives of Farmers in Civil Eats. Give it a read. Great read. When we come back, we're going to go in search of romance out there in the countryside. My first question is going to be just how in the world do you find, where do you go to look to find a mate in farm country? And I'm curious to know if you found a mate in farm country. If you have, pick up your phone and join us. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. This is The Food Chain. Right back.
Get this. You can earn a 5-, 6-, or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city.
You can be old or young.
Rich or poor.
Married or single.
You can own land outright.
Or lease it year to year.
You can grow small fruits on prairie bench lands.
Houseplants in coastal valleys.
Flowers on steep wooded hillsides.
Vegetables in the city green belts.
And ornamentals in neighborhoods of fancy homes.
Get all the help you need to get growing at MetroFarm.com.
Get the complete guide to growing high-value specialty crops for the city at MetroFarm.com.
Get experts to look at your land and assess which crops to grow at MetroFarm.com.
Get advice on how to plan and develop your project at MetroFarm.com.
And get news about the business of farming for the city.
Yes, you can earn a 5-, 6-, or even a 7-figure income by farming high-value specialty crops on a small parcel of land in or near the city.
Grow for the money today at MetroFarm.com. That's MetroFarm.com.
Some years ago, I did a Food Chain radio show from the farm of Phil and Barbara Hamburger out there in farm country of South Dakota. And their farm was a very big deal, many thousands of acres of corn and soybeans. And we did the radio show from the office, which was on the second floor of their farmhouse. And the office had picture windows, you know, around the building. It was like, and the inside of the office, there was all of this equipment, you know, like computers to read the weather, computers for the internet, for the weather service, for the crop commodity prices, and there were blinking lights. It was really a lot like an aircraft carrier bridge. You know, when you're up there above the flight deck and the aircraft carrier steaming across the oceans, and you could look out across those farmlands, and it was just like that. And it's really amazing that the technology that we have, the industrialization, has allowed people like Phil and Barbara Hamburger to farm thousands of acres of farms all by themselves. And so that was the show. And as I was exiting the countryside, I stopped by a little farm community there, happened to notice some Boy Scouts on the sidewalk. They were having their crazy day sales, you know, when you put stuff out on the sidewalk. So Boy Scouts were out there selling hot dogs and Coke. So I thought, well, what the heck? I stopped and bought a hot dog and a Coke. And I was standing there, and all of a sudden I realized that with the exception of those Boy Scouts, I was the only one on the street. I looked up the street and I looked down the street and there was nobody there. And it was kind of like some kind of surreal movie in which all of the people have disappeared except those two Boy Scouts and yourself. And you wonder what happened to all the people. Well, they left the countryside and moved into the city. So when somebody does go to the countryside, how are they going to find romance? Where are they going to find a mate? That's the question on the table today. And Christina Johnson maybe will have some answers because she went looking. What did you find out there, Christina?
Well, it is tricky, but I wouldn't say that it's, you know, it's tricky in the city and you're surrounded by people too. But one thing that I think there's sort of a kind of the modern way to do it, which I'll talk about online dating. And then there's the more traditional way, which is, you know, meeting somebody in person. And there's, I think in California, what we're seeing is this upswell of, they're called the Farmers Guild. And it's these groups that are getting together. I believe they have 7 locations now. And it's kind of like half party, half business networking. But, you know, you can go to these meetings, which happen once a month. And they gather tons of young, single farmers. And I don't think that's really their intention, but it's this whole idea of getting people off of their farm, bringing them in for a potluck or a band, and sort of getting them all in one place, which I think for farmers can be tricky because you often live far away from your neighbors or you're very busy. But what I saw, and I've been to a lot of these meetings, is that, you know, people are there and they're sort of hunting. There's much looking for advice on how to plant such and such seed as they are potentially looking for a date. So, and at least in California, we have the Farmers Guild, and I think there are groups that are starting across the country where they're trying to bring together young farmers.
So it's kind of like trade associations of sorts, local farms associations. You know, there's a educational farm in our neck of the woods here in California called the Pie Ranch, and they have barn dances.
Exactly.
And they're really fun.
Yeah, I mean, I think that type of, you know, I talked to people that were living near you in Santa Cruz who had maybe graduated from the Santa Cruz farm program, or there was another educational training program in Michigan where students, I think, were there for maybe 6 months or so, and then they graduate. But what you have when you go through one of those programs or you have one of those programs in your area is a real social hub. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people kind of step out into farming on their own. But by moving through one of those programs, it's like a whole alumni directory, you know, and you suddenly, you have people you can talk to about farming, but also community. And I think as much as the romantic piece was a part of these interviews, there was also just a general question about how do you deal with loneliness, you know, and how do you find someone to talk to that gets what your lifestyle is all about?
You know, you talked a little bit in the introduction to your article about the gal that moved out to the country and was having a hard time finding a social interaction out there. But, well, gee whiz, she also had trouble in the city, too. And I got to thinking, where is it easiest to be most lonely, in the city or the country?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe in the city you feel like you don't have an excuse almost, you know, because you feel like I should be out there and I should be meeting people. They're all around me. But I will say that while loneliness is not a pleasant experience no matter where you are, the thing about moving out to the country is you're at least probably moving in the direction of people who do share your values. There might not be as many of them, but the people that you do meet probably will kind of understand a little bit more about why you made the switch from a desk job to working in the dirt. Why it's important to you, even if you're not making a ton of money, to be out there on the land. So you're kind of moving more in the direction of eventually, when you do find someone, of someone that's going to get where you're coming from.
Well, I'm thinking in a place, you know, like California, where there, you know, is a lot of organizational support behind getting together. But what if you're like in Beulah, North Dakota?
Yeah. Well, that, I think, is where you sign up for farmersonly.com, which is a website for single farmers. And if you're ever up late at night, like 2 in the morning, you'll see their commercials come on TV. But they have over 1 million members.
And wow. Really?
Yeah. I was on their site yesterday, and that's what they say. So it's not just farmers. I will give that caveat. It's truckers and kind of, they describe themselves as country people, you know, looking for sort of old-fashioned romance. But it seems to attract people that do live maybe more in the Midwest or more in more serious rural areas where that population is really low. And it's, you know, I may or may not have a profile on there just for scoping things out. But when I was looking at these profiles, you know, it's people that are, you know, they want somebody that will go hunting with them or will, you know, there seems to be a lot of, like, attracting people with your truck and, mm-hmm. you know, kind of, it's a little bit more rustic than, say, the Santa Cruz or the Marin County feel.
Nothing like you'd find in the Beltway in Washington, D.C. or in Virginia. But, you know, in talking about farmersonly.com, because when I see their ad, I'm almost floored by how idiot the whole presentation is of, you know, I look at those farmers and I, for the life of me, can't figure out how they would survive as farmers these days. I mean, you know, they have these rubes in bib overalls.
Right.
They
right.
have like a third grade education with, and they're chewing on a straw when kicking the dog. And I'm going to get me a date by signing up with FarmersOnly. What kind of woman would want to subscribe to a date with one of those characters?
I have to say that when you do go on there and you do look at the profiles, it is a little, it leaves something to be desired, you know? I mean, it's...
What were they shooting for? You know, I'm sure it was put together by some very clever people. But they're much more clever than I am because I don't understand why you would present a potential mate in such a bad light.
Yeah.
I mean, goodness sakes.
Yeah, I think, I mean, not to say that it is an interesting approach, but it seems to have, you know, some person I've met on the street who knows that I did these interviews, and pretty much every week somebody sends me that website and says, you have to take a look at this. And there are lots of people that are signed up for it, and it's not necessarily, you know, the highest quality profiles, but... I mean, it seems to be maybe more of a conservative population looking for somebody that, you know, is church-going. I do agree that it's not the most endearing picture of farmers when you watch those.
Well, when we come back, I have one that is. And we'll continue the discussion about the online dating for people who are out there in the countryside with nobody around them. Or do they find companionship? How do you find a mate out there in the country? And how do we have a farm community, a farm society that's strong enough to support our cities unless it has some kind of social viability about it? Or is that possible? This is The Food Chain, Michael Olson with Christina Johnson and you, 800-624-2665. Welcome back. This is the Food Chain radio program. We're looking for romance in probably all the wrong places, like FarmersOnly.com, but a lot of people are looking there. Over a million subscribers. Confuses the heck out of me, but what do I know about it? Maybe it's just that it's so unequivocal that it's not one thing, that it's another thing that attracts people. Would that be a reasonable supposition, Christina?
Oh, it could be, for sure. Yeah.
In regards to dating sites, I did get an interesting email, and I'll read it here. It's from Lance and Doris, somewhere out there in farm country. And then Lance says, I won't be able to participate on your show because I'm out in the field that time of day, but I did want to share this with you. My wife and I met on Ave Maria Catholic Singles website nearly 9 years ago. This month will be our 8th wedding anniversary. I wouldn't recommend just any single website, but this one is definitely reputable. Now, what interested me about this was, well, it's a, you know, website, a dating service, but it was also brings in another element that was always very important in traditional rural life, and that's the church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, church, not so important to city folk, but it always was important for those of people who live on and off the land. And it seems like here's a happy situation that came out of kind of the church and modern technology as well.
Yeah, no, that's very true. I think that probably many of the farmers that I spoke with were, just based off the demographic that I seemed to get in contact with, maybe they probably grew up in the city and had left the city to go to the farm and to farm as a first-generation farmer. And most of them didn't come from a church background. So they were, in some ways, maybe a little bit unmoored compared to people, or had less connection compared to people that maybe did have a church community. I think that can be really helpful as far as finding people that share your values. But, you know, if you're kind of in that sort of leaning liberal and moving towards sustainable agriculture, maybe more spiritual than religious, you're sort of navigating something that has a little bit less structure to it. And so most of the people that I spoke with didn't really have a church background, but I could see where that would be very helpful.
What did they have?
What did they have? They had this earnest desire to be doing good work. And, I mean, I'll give you, you know, kind of talking a little bit about how modern life is changing the demographic or changing the perspective of people that are farming. I'll give you an example. I met this group of very, you know, 20-something ranchers and farmers that live outside of San Francisco. And they all had college educations, and they'd all grew up in the city for the most part. And they wanted to be on the land. They wanted to contribute to growing good food in a conscientious way. And so they were cattle ranching, and they invited me over to their house for, when I told them I wanted to talk about love, they invited me over to their house for this 10-course aphrodisiac dinner that they prepared with everything from their farm, which is pretty fabulous. So I get over there, and, you know, I ask them, well, what are you looking for in a person? And there's, you know, you kind of hear crickets chirping, because as they all sort of thought about this, the answer, the consensus of the table was that they weren't really looking for that person yet. That one woman said, you know, we're in our 20s, and the idea that there's just one person that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with seems not really realistic. And, you know, that's, I think, maybe more of a modern kind of idea, maybe a young idea. But what interested me, too, is that when I asked them, well, you know, do you think you'll stick with farming? The same kind of response happened where they said, well, you know, we're trying it out. We're not really sure. And in a way, it was like they were as uncommitted to farming as they were to their relationships. You know, they were sort of dating agriculture. They weren't really ready to be monogamous yet. And it made me think a little bit about, you know, the different kind of perspective when people, young people, are moving into agriculture and they're expressing all these ideas about it and they're interested. But there's kind of a mentality of not really committing in general, I think, more so maybe in my generation than two generations back.
Hmm. You know, that really brings up an interesting thing in my mind in that, well, we're just playing with this. We're not really certain with it. And as to settling down, becoming monogamous, are you kidding? and yet, later, when we're going to start talking about what happens when you are able to connect with somebody, with a mate, and begin a family, you run into a situation where the traditional rural lifestyle based on extended families really is a huge benefit. And,
oh, yeah.
And if you take this back to the notion of, well, I'm not going to commit to monogamy or to the family life, or to any of those traditional values, do you think they can, that it's possible to succeed in agriculture and farming without those traditional values?
It's tough. There's definitely a reason that people relied on their extended family. You know, I talked to a woman in Vermont who'd moved there with her husband, and she's a longtime farmer. She'd managed several farms, and she and her husband had taken over this dairy. And once they had kids, though, suddenly it wasn't, you know, that she had to take care of the kids. She was inside taking care of them, and he was out farming.
She was the one I quoted from your article where she sees her husband walk by the kitchen window once in a while.
Right, exactly. And, you know, if she had had, say, her parents had lived in the area, which they didn't, or if his had, then, you know, you could take the kids over and they could stay with the grandparents. And so she was really trying to figure out, what do we do when we're this, again, we're kind of trying to revive rural life. And so we're moving out here as singles or as couples, but without that support of a whole network of extended family. And she'd come up with the interesting idea that if you've heard of au pairs, you know, instead of having an au pair, you have a farm pair. Mm-hmm. You invite someone to come onto your farm and they get to live a rural life, but they also help take care of the kids. Or she also suggested that, you know, what if these retired farmers who maybe don't want to move to the city just yet or to get a condo in the suburbs, but they also don't want to do the hard, backbreaking work of farming, what if you sort of enlisted and adopt a grandparent, basically, if you tried to build a family out of the people that are already there to help you to take care of yours. Hmm. So kind of getting scrappy almost.
And then you would be, well, I guess that would lead to the whole notion of setting up websites to find people. And then once you find them, are they the right people to turn your kid over to?
Exactly.
So, all kinds of different things. But let's go back then to, we're still looking for maids, but it was an interesting direction to take there. Other places to look other than, you know, simply websites, I guess. That's the signal that we have to take a break. But when we come back, I'd like to pursue other possibilities. Certainly, there must be some other way to find prospective mates out there in the country other than websites and farm groups. What about the local watering hole? Surely people must go into town for a drink once in a while. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson here with Christina Johnson. We're looking for love out there in the rural, rural countryside of farmland USA. We're looking for ways people find their mates and how do they conduct their courtships, you know, when turning over piles of steaming compost and how do they hold their families together when they don't have extended families? Lots of interesting things to think about on the food chain. 800-624-2665. And 831-479-1080. Give us a call if you found a mate out there in farm country. Well, do you find love and romance way out there in the countryside? Well, you can use an internet dating site. You can go to a farm group of like-minded people. You can fall back on a church if you can find one left. And you could probably go to a local watering hole. Christine, do you ever talk with anybody who went to a bar to find romance?
Oh, I'm sure, but I feel a little bit like the bar is sometimes, you know, people talk about going to the bar in the city, and you never really know who you're going to meet there. It's not necessarily the most successful spot, but I suppose you could. I think in a lot of these towns, the bars are, it's like an older crowd there probably, too. So it just depends on what you're looking for.
There you go. Well, we have a caller, Candace, tuning in. Candace, welcome to the food chain. You've got Christina Johnson and Michael Olson. Go ahead.
Hi, Christina. I just wanted to say hello. It's Candace from the food farm.
Candace, how are you?
Fine. It's great to hear you on the air.
Well, Candace, wait a minute. Where did you find your romance?
At Costco.
Candace has an amazing story. Candace is one of the farmers I interviewed.
Uh-huh. Well, Candace, what is your story?
Well, I have a Christmas tree farm in Aptos in a wildlife habitat, and I was a single farmer for many years. And I went to Costco one day, which I don't do very often, but I make wreaths on my farm. So I was going to buy ribbons, and I needed to renew my membership. So the short of it is, in the membership line, I started making faces at this guy. And he was renewing his membership, too. And then we had our pictures taken, and then I said, "Is that your cart?" And he said, "Yes, he was just getting cat food." But at the end of our little shopping spree, I had salmon and wine, and we went off and had a picnic. And that was the beginning, and it's still going on.
So serendipity. There it is. But you still have to be among people to have that serendipity, right, Candace?
Well, one thing I attribute it to is I had just taught on semester at sea. I'd gone around the world for 6 months teaching on a ship that was a floating university.
Uh-huh.
And so when I got back from that, I was still in sort of traveling mode. So I always encourage people to go on adventures because it breaks them out of their routine, and one is willing to do things broken out of that routine that one doesn't ordinarily do.
Mm-hmm.
So making faces in a Costco general membership line is not something I'd probably ordinarily do, but I was still sort of in traveling.
But you were in the mood.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. Well, Candace, thanks for the wonderful call. Really appreciate it. What, Candace, one quick question. Are you there?
Yes, huh?
How do you conduct a courtship while pruning Christmas trees?
Well, it's a real dance. This is just my part-time avocation. I actually teach at UC Santa Cruz.
Okay.
And so what I've done is I've engaged my partner in the whole farming operation here and in my travels. We've taught abroad a lot now. And so he's a filmmaker, and he just made a film of me in Bhutan on an agricultural project. So we really partner and are compatible in terms of our interests.
And there's a big thing right there, right, is to find that compatibility of interest. Christine, is that true?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Candace.
I think for basically every person I spoke to, it was the search for someone that shared their values. But when you were asking about, you know, interesting ways to meet someone, it made me think about the sort of trend, and they call it weed dating. So it's groups of farmers getting together, maybe at someone's farm, but it's usually, you know, put on by a community organization, and they weed. So you all sort of stand in the line, maybe guys facing girls, and you're weeding along this line, and you're kind of talking and chatting, and you're getting something done, and, you know, you might also meet somebody.
I love it. That's pretty good. It's kind of like a line dance almost, right?
Yep. Just so more productive.
Instead of wasting time dancing, you're getting something real done on the floor.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, we're going to have to take a quick break in a little while, but there's something I'd like to discuss with you, and that is something you said in your article in Civil Eats entitled The Love Lives of Farmers. You talked about how so many of the farmers that you interviewed out there, either in person or on the phone, would ask you how other farmers had figured out what to do.
Yeah.
And the title of your article really is How to Make a Rural Romance Work. So how does all... Did you find people that had it all figured out?
No, I would say that might be a bit of a misnomer on the title, but maybe there should be a question mark at the end of the title. I don't think anybody knows how to make it, you know, figure out romance, regardless of where you live. But
if that were true, Shakespeare would be out of business, right?
Exactly. But people, it's not a conversation that happens very often. And I think maybe in part because it's personal, and in part because there's sort of an idea that if you're talking about it, maybe you're desperate, or it's not as respectable a conversation as how do you draw up.
Can you hold that? We're going to have to pick it up when we come back. We'll have a few minutes to close out with that question. But to me, it really is the question is, has anybody figured it out? And if so, what was the answer? This is the Food Chain Radio Program, Michael Olson. We will be right back with Christina Johnson and you. Phone number is 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Question on the table is, how does one find a mate in farm country? How do you conduct a courtship in farm country when you're turning piles of steaming compost? And how do you make it work? How do you hold the family together? Right back. Do stay tuned. Well, many years ago, when still young and very naive, wife Marlene and I canoed the Missouri River through north central Montana, and 8 days on that river. And after a few days together and not seeing anybody other than each other, we got starved for some human interaction and decided to visit a ranch. So we hiked into this ranch and knocked on the door, and nothing happened. We knocked on the door. We could hear the television, so we knew somebody was in there. And finally, the door opened, and there was an old farmer looking down at us, two kids in cutoff shorts and from someplace, some other planet probably. And he just looked at us for a while, and he left the door open. He turned, and he walked back into the house. So we took that as an invitation. We walked in, too, and he and his wife were sitting there at the kitchen table looking at us. So we thought, well, maybe they're inviting us to the kitchen table. So we went and sat down at the kitchen table. And he looked at us for all. And he got thinking, well, stood up and he walked over to the shelf. And he got a red 2-pound can of Folgers coffee and brought it over, and we got to thinking, hey, maybe they're going to even make us a cup of coffee. And he opened this coffee can, and he dumped about 40 million rattlesnake rattles out onto the kitchen table right there. And, that couple, that husband and wife, I think about them often because I don't think they had seen anybody in like 10 years. And there was nobody around them. It was just the two of them. And I don't think they spoke a word of English to each other. I think it's a kind of language, you know, when you're, it's just the two of you under that big sky in that great open countryside with nobody for 100 miles. It's just the two of you. And in reality, that really is the way it is, even though we're here in the big city. It's just, you know, when you form a courtship, when you get a mate and you raise a family, it's just the two of you and your family. What is it, Christina Johnson, that you found that holds that together?
Well, I do think that there's something, even in addition to when you're farming with somebody, you're not just their romantic partner, but you're their business partner. And so you have to navigate even more sometimes with them, things that are maybe complicated, you know, these financial issues or the physical schedule of your day as a farmer. And some of the happiest couples that I found, well, there was one that I spoke to that really stands out. And they, you know, they not only had the same vision for what they wanted in their life, but they moved out to Nevada City, California, and they were farming several acres of vegetables. And I think the thing that helped to keep them at peace and keep the communication really positive between the two of them, it's not super romantic, but they drew up a business plan for what they were going to do on their farm. So every day there wasn't this argument of kind of, you know, who's doing what, but there was a very clear sense of, okay, he's in charge of the orchard and she's in charge of the brassicas. And if they're in the orchard, then she defers to him. And if they're in the cabbages, then he defers to her. And it kind of helped to sort of soothe, you know, they even had ideas for if we get in an argument, how are we going to solve it? And it was all on paper, which is, I think, something that most couples don't think to do. You know, there's kind of this, we'll figure it out as we go along. But putting it on paper and having this very clear direction seemed to really help them. And
Christina, thank you so much, because that really is clear direction for which we can end the show. Christina Johnson, she the author of Farmers, The Love Life of Farmers on civileats.com. Christina, thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you all out there for tuning in. Stay tuned next week for more What's Eating What Radio on the Food Chain.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.